This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 117, How to Get Treated Like a Meat Popsicle. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista, and this is a special episode of our podcast. I am doing this one all by myself. Hot off the heels of going to E for All, and a couple of other shows that you might have heard of, Bax, and almost Tokyo Game Show, but we're broke like that. I have a rant for you guys. Yeah, oddly enough, I'm not happy with all of the things that are going on in the state of gaming. So I'm going to share some of my thoughts with you, and we'll just kind of see how it goes from there. But before I get into the show, I got to remind you that you got to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check out what we're running and thinking on the site. We also have some of our core member Twitterings going on there. So if we've got random things that we're thinking, they're there on the site, as well as an RSS feed. So you can subscribe to the updates, both for the podcast feed and the main articles that we have on the website. You can also listen to episodes of the podcast by taking that RSS feed and subscribing to it in iTunes, or even looking for Electric Sisterhood in iTunes, as well as on any of your more favorite podcast search engines, like Pandalicious's favorite, Podcast Pickle. You can even catch episodes of our show airing on the All Games Radio Network, Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. With all that business stuff out of the way, I definitely want to jump into what it is that I want to talk about, which is gaming trade shows. As you all know, one of my big drives in my gamer life has been to go to E3. Ever since I was in high school, E3 was kind of like gaming mecca for me. It was going to be the place that I went to and I was around or surrounded and immersed by the gaming community. And as I got older and got to a point in my life where I could actually do that, I got more and more excited about going. For me to attend E3, the vehicle was going to be ESH. It was a big piece. I had heard about how Nero over at Destructoid actually was able to start his website with the sole focus of getting into E3, and I thought, man, you know, if he can do it, why can't I? My sister and I crack each other up. I can do something every week, of course. And it turned out to be one of the most enjoyable things that I've ever done, you know, in my life up to now. But when I finally got to go to E3, it was the year that they started to lock things down. So my first E3 was at the hangar. And I got into stuff mostly because I knew the All Games folks. I really didn't start getting a whole lot of love from anybody until people started recognizing me running around with the All Games crew, which was just great. We had known them from an interview we had done on their show very, very early on in the inception of ESH. And the connections and the people and the things that I got exposed to in that time were just great. You know, I got to go to some event parties that I, you know, wasn't on the list for, but they were glad to have me and make great contacts and share some great ideas with people and really feel like I was part of the industry and valued as such. So needless to say, I then made it my goal to hit as many different trade shows as I possibly could for the industry moving forward. Now, ESH is something that I bankroll on my own. I love doing it, but I am not rich. Contrary to popular belief, Oprah Winfrey is not my mom, even though I've tried to make that connection a few different times for financial reasons. Turns out that wishing that somebody was your parent and that you had an inheritance coming and actually being the progeny of somebody are kind of, well, they're two different things. So I couldn't hit all the shows that I wanted to. I still want to go to Comic-Con. I very much enjoyed my trip to PAX this year, which was just a great experience. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But I really kind of focused on events that I could go to and that I would enjoy. So for the first year and a half of ESH, I mainly focused on going to events like CES and E3. CES is a beast. I don't know how any small group, website, web publication, or even massive mainstream media publication covers this event because it just engulfs Las Vegas. Now, if you're a tech geek at all, CES is a great event to go to. Every single gadget that you can imagine is there. You're interested in digital cameras? Guess what? There's like 50 gabillion of them. From point and shoots all the way up to professional level cameras and lenses, tripods, monopods, gear bags, filters, you name it, it's there. Same thing with TVs, tech that can go in it, personal media players. What about your car? You want to put tech in your car? You want to see what else is new in mods for your car? Yeah, you can go to the convention center and go through the building where Microsoft usually is. Yeah, and there's just car stuff there. Jackhammer woofers, tweeters, kits, aftermarket things. It is just ridiculous what you can see at CES. And everything is spread out everywhere. Even though there are plenty of things that are on the show floors, as it takes up all of the Las Vegas Convention Center, as well as convention centers up and down the strip, and lots of vendors don't even get floor space because the floor space is sold out or so expensive that they actually rent out suites and have hospitality suites in the various hotels. Specifically, the Venetian, there's a lot of hospitality suites there, and the MGM Grand and Mandalay Bay, that you are spread out literally from one end of the strip all the way to the other. And as such, it's just a mammoth event to try and cover. Now imagine doing that as a single person. This last year I had help. I actually had a couple of freelancers that were able to attend CES with me, which made it a lot easier to cover things. We saw so much more stuff. Gear, games, went to the Namco party, was able to go to PepCom, which is an event right before CES, and really get hands-on with a lot of developers, especially on the software side. But it's so big, and it is so massive, that there just is no real way to cover it. There's no way to see it all. I don't care if you descend on the town with 30 people. It's just not going to happen. You are not going to be able to see all of the things and retain any of the stuff that's there. It'll be interesting to me to kind of see how CES changes. I think that they're aware that they may not get the attendance like they used to because they've just been inundating me with the, hey, you know what? We know you're not registered yet, but we're going to go ahead and let you see who the exhibitors are. And, you know, because you've been to this like twice now. So we're also going to let you know what's going on and, you know, what everyone is doing. And you should really come and you probably want to go ahead and register. You know, whenever an event is trying to get you to register half a year before the event is actually going to go off, that to me kind of sends up some red flags, and it makes me a little nervous. But what really bugged me about CES was how elitist it still felt. This was the first year that Sony actually invited me to their booth and to their press conference, which was great in getting the invite. And I made some great contacts while I was there. None of my Sony people have actually ever replied to any of the inquiries that I've made. But I have those contacts now, so I'm sure that at some point in time they just might actually write me back, but it's not necessarily a given. But the elitist piece came from this feeling that a lot of the people running the booths were informed just enough to run their booth and nothing more. I kept being handed off from person to person trying to get questions answered. And this wasn't just at the Sony booth. This was at a lot of booths. I couldn't even get anybody at the Canon booth to actually talk to me about cameras, which at the time I really, really wanted to have somebody talk intelligent with me about their digital SLRs because I knew I was going to be purchasing one. It was only because of the great treatment that I got at the Nikon booth that I wound up actually purchasing a Nikon, even though I wasn't able to get one in for a review. I'd planned to do a great series of reviewing DSLRs between Sony and Canon and Nikon, and I've only ever been able to get Nikon to actually do anything for me and send me information and be a good contact. And I don't necessarily know that that just comes from us being a small publication or from the fact that maybe, just maybe, I'm looked down on because I'm a blogger and not with the New York Times. And that's my bone with CES, is unless you're in gadget, it's like you're not a real blog, you're not a real publication, and you're not going to get the time of day. And that's wrong, because the majority of people that walk into the door at CES paid a ton of money, a shit ton of money to be there. If you want to go to any of the panels, in addition to the day passes, let's say you want to do the entire show, you're plunking down close to $600, if not more. So to be treated like that, it's kind of lame. At the same time, CES is one of those trade shows that I go to because I enjoy the tech, not because I'm looking for swag, which is a good thing because there's not really a whole lot of it unless you want to be an avid bag collector. But I really wish that more time was spent on being able to put information resources together easily with people. You know, I understand that people working booths by the second and third day, they've said the same thing over and over again. They've seen 50 people within the last 10 minutes and can't remember anything. But the whole reason why you have a trade show is so that you can get people in the industry together, bring to the table your ideas and your technology in hopes that you will interest these people that influence the buying market. And so I think that that elitist thing needs to go away and needs to be more embracing. I'm not saying that it needs to be warm and fuzzy and things like that, but what I am saying is that the people that are registered, the people that show up, should be treated with the same kind of interest that they show. And that doesn't happen at CES. It's just kind of like, yeah, you're a meat popsicle. Hooray for you. Do you want a squishy ball? Oh, no, you want to ask me a question? Yeah, so this is my booth, and I do things in the booth, and we have products, and the products are going to be awesome, and we're going to get them out in the quarter. Great. I would really like to speak with somebody about your products. Yeah, we've got an online press kit. If you just go here, you can get information. And then if you want to contact somebody, you can. And the contact information's on the press kit. Okay, well, that's great. I've got a card with me right now. I'd like to give it to somebody. Yeah, well, I can take it, but that person's at lunch, so... Thanks for stopping by the booth, though. Wow, Electric Sisterhood. Okay, what do you guys do? Well, like the card says, video games, tech gadgets, and anime. I mean, that's the boil down, the breakdown of the interactions that I had there. So I'm hoping that this year, with them opening up more things, having the blogger lounges now, you know, pulling bloggers away from mainstream media, but still giving us bandwidth, giving us space to do our shows and things like that, I'm hopeful that maybe, just maybe, E3 will take a cue from CES. Because CES has really kind of split itself and really made media areas available for mainstream media and blogging areas available for bloggers. But everybody gets on the same floor and everybody gets treated as media. It just says blogger underneath. I think that E3 can do the same thing. When you look at the last couple of months and all the press coming up on gaming trade shows, you had PAX, you had E for All with its second year outing, and as I'm recording this, the Tokyo Game Show is going on. You can't help but think back to the stuff about E3. Now, I'm going to preface this with saying that, yeah, I kind of still am holding some bad feelings about not getting invited. But the fact of the matter is, we didn't have a PR firm that wanted to extend an invitation to us. As much as we run around at ESH, we're really very focused on only talking about things that we know for sure we can talk about. I don't do a review of something unless I've been hands-on or I know that I'm about to be hands-on. Any website, anybody can read a PR release and copy and paste it and make that a post. But that doesn't do anybody any good. I like being able to say, I actually really enjoy this, and here are the reasons why, because I actually touched it. Same thing with Panda, same thing with Magic, same thing with everybody at ESH. I don't cater. If you send me something and I don't like it, I'm going to say I don't like it. I'm going to try and find a nice way to say that I don't like it, but I'm going to say why I don't like it, and I'm going to try and offer up ways that it could be better. And that's where I try to be fair and balanced. Yeah, I said that. Bill O'Reilly, don't sue me. I know you sue people for that kind of thing. But I went back and forth with all kinds of companies. I talked with Capcom. I talked with Gamerscore. I talked to Namco. I never really did get any reply back from Namco, which was kind of sad. I even talked to 2K. And everyone was like, yeah, no, we already gave out our invitations. You know, if you're going to have an event and you want to have a whole lot of people be excited and want to report about your stuff, doesn't it make sense to maybe have the people there that know about your stuff and want to be there? To be hands-on with your stuff. I'm not saying that you need to let everybody in, because obviously that doesn't work. It's, you know, barely controlled chaos. And that doesn't get anybody anywhere. It doesn't get people hands-on time enough to really get a feel for whatever your product is. It makes it difficult for mainstream media to get in, get the information that they need, and get out. Because the majority of mainstream media is not the gaming community. They are not the fans of the product. They are there because it is their job to be there. And then you have the blogosphere people. You have the groups like Destructoid. And you have the groups like Kotaku, even though they've gone like, you know, crazy and are like legit now, media, after working really, really hard at it. But you've got Kotaku and Destructoid and AllGames and Platform Nation and OLR and ESH. People that are gamers who happen to also write and podcast, but have an affinity and information about products, about the industry. You know, we are like the Wikipedia for these trade shows. And then you make it difficult or nearly impossible for us to attend. My case in point is Peter Moore's blog. Now, I'm a huge fan of Peter Moore. When I did attend E3, I was able to meet him at a Microsoft party, and we had a conversation for about 10 minutes. And then I also met Major Nelson and Trixie at that time. And Peter left a lasting impression on me because you always think that the people up at the top don't get it. Peter Moore gets it. Even though he sucks at Guitar Hero, he gets it. So it was a really great conversation to have with him. And I'm sure he doesn't remember my name because he talked to many, many people, and short black chicks with braids probably don't stick out in his brain too much. But after E3 this year, Peter put up, I think, one of the most telling and scathing, I think, posts about the event. So if you go to his blog now, which you can just Google Peter Moore. I think it's like petermoore.ea.com or something like that. But he pretty much called out E3 for being soulless. His actual words were soulless and lacking an epicenter. The fragmented layout gave no indication whatsoever that we are the fastest growing entertainment medium in the world. While I'm not sure I want to revert back to the old days of excess and one-upmanship, I do know that this format isn't working. I believe that Peter sees the same thing that I do. Like, if you go further down into the post, one of the things that he proposes to try and bring back the soul is let's invite the community. With the right planning involving our biggest fans in E3 would bring back some of the raw passion the event has lost. And that's true. I've said it before on other podcasts, but you know, attending E for All this past weekend has really kind of driven this home for me, is that if you throw an event and all you invite are the pros to the event, it's going to turn into a country club. You're going to have people sitting down, having conversations about everything other than the focus that brings them together, because they were doing that all day long. They don't want to talk about it anymore. If you bring a bunch of journalists to a gaming convention, if they're not gamers, they're just going to come in, talk about their flight, bitch about their room, maybe talk about some things that they saw that were interesting, but they don't really have an understanding of. But they already got the sound bites, the quotes, the manufacturing retail suggested price. They got what they needed. They're not going to be excited about a Halo 3 Recon game. When they see a trailer for Final Fantasy 13, they don't really have a context of what it is that they're looking at, other than something that looks really pretty on the screen that's coming out sometime in 2009. It's probably going to make Sony some money. And I think that that's why Peter's perception of the event, which is not the only one. If you ask any of the people who are in the industry who've been to E3's past and the last 2 years, they will tell you that the soul, the love, the passion, the people that make E3 awesome are gone because we can't get in. We can't get invited. Personally, I think If you take an event and you split it, let's say you take it to Vegas, and you hold down at the Mandalay Bay your press stuff. That's where you can have your gadgets and joysticks and New York Times and a man and guy from Newsweek have their private event where they can have no lines, get right in, get plenty of hands-on time, but also relax and have a very quiet environment to go through all this stuff. And then down at the other end of the strip, in that big, huge space, that's where you put the piece where everybody can come in. Your general admission, your bloggers can bounce around, as well as bloggers bouncing around the Mandalay Bay area. I think you could have the community, as well as mainstream media, and have a good time. I don't think that they have to be all-inclusive with no exclusivity. There's an easy way to do it if you take it to the right venue and you apply the right people and you apply the right thought process, which is these trade shows, the whole reason why you have them is so you can bring your new projects to market, show them off, build up some hype going into your big purchasing season, whether that's holiday or whether that's just gearing up for spring release. If you don't have people to bring the passion and the excitement, it's not going to follow. And that's why I was really disappointed, ultimately, with E for All. I'd been excited because I'd talked to people that attended the first year, and they were really happy with the fact that the community was there, as well as being able to intermingle with the industry. So I made it a point this year that if I didn't get to go to E3, that I was going to go to PAX, and I was probably going to go to E for All. Obviously, we all know the story. I did not make it the final cut for E3. So I went to PAX, which happened first. And I gotta say, PAX was absolutely amazing. It was so cool to me to be able to not only get the press stuff that I needed, because press got a couple of hours before they opened the doors for everybody, and then once they opened the doors for everybody, everybody was treated on the same level, which has its pros and cons, and I'll get to that in just a second. But I loved the fact that it was open for everybody. So you had cosplayers running around with mainstream press. You have mainstream press being able to intermingle with gamers and bloggers and just hang out and kind of intermingle. But the main thing about PAX that I loved was that the show floor wasn't the biggest draw. The big draw was the community getting together with other pieces of the community. The handheld lounges where people just played DS games with each other. I actually finally was able to use PictoChat for the first time ever. And there'd be other people in the room drawing stuff. It was the coolest thing ever. Not that PictoChat was really actually cool, but it was just nice that I could actually use it and that there were other people using it, and we were just cracking each other up. And then the looking for gamer groups and the pickup games with Call of Duty and Soul Calibur and Rock Band. At one point in time, part of the reason why the podcast that I did from PAX sounded so rough was because the room I was in, even though it was a private conference room, there were people that had gathered down the floor below me in a little area where I think people go after they get their coffee and have like a cafe sit inside, but I'm outside because there's sunlight and stuff. And I'm so awesome because I'm sitting here with my coffee. You know those people? Somebody had set up a Rock Band and a TV, and they were just randomly bringing up people to play Rock Band. At one point in time, I stopped the recording and got out to see what was going on, and there were like 15 guys standing on the stage trying to sing the Bang Camaro song, and they were having a ball, and there was a huge crowd watching them. Where else can you go and become a rock star in the middle of the day on a Sunday? takes gamers to do that and appreciate it. Then passersby started to stop and watch, and it was just so cool to look down and see that going on. Just gamers getting together and gaming with each other. And I was so enthused by that. It just gave me so much energy. And it was so cool to see the entirety of the gaming community represented and accepted openly. I just kept thinking to myself, this is what E3 should have been. This is how E3 should have been. There should have been this laughter. There should have been camaraderie. There should have been people running around. Did you see? Did you hear? Do you know what's going on here? Do you know what we're doing after? Oh my god, what Nintendo just threw down was amazing. Did you play Conduit? Did you see Conduit? Dude, you should go see Conduit. Let me show you Conduit. You know, that's the kind of thing that spreads across the internet like wildfire. And we all know that virality, being viral, is a real, real important piece of marketing now. I don't know if it's a good thing. I don't know if it's a bad thing, but it is a reality. It is how you get and reach the most amount of people. I know I read most of my stuff and get most of my news from the interwebs. As I imagine, most of the people listening to this internet radio podcast probably do as well. I have bookmarks set upon bookmarks. I read everything. Destructoid, my own site, electricity.com, Kotaku, IO9. Read it all. You have to. There are very few things that I read in print anymore. Because it's just faster. It's easier. And I hear about more things from spoofs of those things in YouTube than anything else. I see more things on collegehumor.com and Daily Motion and YouTube than I do on CNN. And it's because it is what everyone's talking about. The internet has become the water cooler, and we all gather around it, and we share information and stories that way. And unless you have people that are at events with hype and interest and passion to talk about those things and bring them to the water cooler and make them the topic of conversation, they don't become the topic of conversation. I was so upset to find out that shortly before the event was closing at E4All, that Mirror's Edge was actually there on a machine, just running in a corner. Nobody knew about it. Until somebody accidentally walked by there. And really, the only things that were going on at E4All was the All Games booth that I was a part of. And I'm not just saying it because I was a part of it, because it was true. It was nonstop traffic at our booth. And the World Championship Gaming Series that was going on. Those were the big things. Nintendo wasn't there. Sony sure wasn't there. And while Microsoft was there, they mostly brought games for Windows on a couple of machines and a couple of arcade titles, and that was it. The Indiecade was nice, but at the same time, as a person going there wanting to get information about games and make contacts for people to find out more and get on PR lists so I could learn about other products that they might be bringing to the table, there was nobody there to talk to me about those things. There were plenty of people there that wanted to give me buttons and suspenders and, well, not really a whole lot of people that wanted to give me t-shirts, but I still did score a couple. But there is a holy grail to me for these events. And I want to make sure that I'm part of helping that to happen before it's too late. My fear is that events like CES and E3 and E4All especially are going to go the way of Comdex. Now, I don't know how many of the listeners out there are old enough to remember Comdex, but if you're an old geek like myself, or an older geek, not a noob, born before the 90s, well, in Panda's case, I guess I should say born before the 80s, then you can probably remember Comdex, which, before CES really got big, Comdex was the convention that you went to. Because that's where everything computer-related came out. Robotics, semiconductors, all of it. It was all at Comdex. And Comdex was massive, much like CES is now. Comdex took over Las Vegas. I did not go to Comdex, but Evermore did. And I listened to stories that he shares all the time about it. And I just try to wrap my brain around trying to see even a tenth of what happened at Comdex. But Comdex got so big, and it started excluding so many people, that it eventually died. Like, literally. Basically, they'd sent out all these releases. Comdex isn't dead. It's still happening in a couple of months. We can't wait to see you there. And all this, that, and the other thing. We're going through a retooling, but it's going to be great. And then a month before the event was supposed to go off, they canceled it, and it never came back. So as soon as I heard that E3 was going to be retooling itself, I immediately flashed to Comdex and went, okay, well, here we go. It's going to happen again. I see that happening with E4All, because while there was some traffic to E4All for what you've got to pay to go to it, there really needs to be buy-in from the major three. Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft need to be there. There doesn't need to be the one-upmanship of my booth is better than your booth, and my booth is bigger than your booth. Just show up. That's all you have to do. Your products speak for themselves. We don't need a fog and light show. We just need you to be present, because the gaming community will go. We will attend events if you have them. Same thing with E3. As I said, I believe there is a midplane. I believe that there is a way to have the blogosphere there, as well as mainstream media, as well as a big old chunk of the public community, without making it ridiculously hard for attendees to get hands-on with things. Bring your mainstays to Mandalay Bay. Let your bloggers and your press get a hold of them there. Then bring them over to the other venue and let the open press get to them. Have multiple bays. It's not a sin to bring 4 or 5 bays of a title that you think might only be a nominal hit. Because it turns out, you might find out from the paying audience that it's actually going to be more popular than you thought it was. And now you've got a brand new sleeper hit on your hands, just because you put it out in public. And please, can we stop with the, hey, we're going to basically buy a bunch of rooms, and you can walk to a bunch of places to see stuff. Just one big main hall would be nice and suffice. You don't have to walk all over the place to get to where you need to go. So let's stop doing things in Santa Monica. And the LA Convention Center is nice. But can we just all agree that for an entertainment industry, our show should probably be in Las Vegas? Or New York, or Boston, major media hub, easy to fly into, easy to fly out of. I can't tell you how excited I was to find out that there was going to be an East Coast PAX, and that's going to be at the Heinz Convention Center, because the Heinz Convention Center is huge, which, to cover something like a PAX and be enough space for something like a PAX, it has to be, because they are definitely running out of space at the Washington Convention Center for PAX this year. So I definitely get why they want to have an East Coast PAX. Why not have an East Coast E3? Why not have an East Coast E for All? Digital Life goes off in New York. Why can't we throw off another event in New York? Or Boston? There are so many gamers and so many people that are interested in the entertainment industry across the country. There's no reason that it just needs to be knocked down to the West Coast. Not everybody in entertainment lives in Cali. No. But I was searching around the internet to see if I was, you know, just kind of a lone voice on this thing. And it turns out I'm not. There are a lot of people at places that I mentioned before, Destructoid, Kotaku, Joystick, you know. People's in the know. People you can rely on. That were not happy with how E3 looked. But what was really funny was while I was bouncing around the internet, I actually came across this website that I never heard of, a news publication. And it was called the West Island Chronicle. And they have a writer there who, I'm probably going to butcher his name, but his name is Rafi Borjakanian. And Rafi was basically talking about how the Tokyo Game Show can really be thought of as what E3 should have been. And he starts out talking about how Japan is a place where current trends for the entertainment industry, specifically with gaming, come from and things like that. But what's really interesting was that Rafi goes on and talks about, in this one paragraph, of how it seems to focus more on the hardcore gamer, whereas things like your E3 and your PAX focus on your casual gamer. And I think that it mostly just becomes, or I should say just comes from, the fact that if you go to the Tokyo Game Show, you kind of got to be up on your shit. Like, if you've got the money to afford to go to Tokyo, then yeah, you're probably all about the hardcore, which is why Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo all buckle up, get on Virgin Atlantic, get over there, have some sake bombs, start dropping their titles. Yeah, look at this, we got more Final Fantasy trailers, yeah. Yeah, ooh, look over here. We've got some horde mode on the Gears 2. We're going to announce some things. Do you want to be hands-on with the new Xbox Live experience? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because the audience there is totally entrenched. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no ESH at the Tokyo Game Show. Like I said, we're broke fucks. We can't afford to go to Tokyo. And, as we all know, Pandalicious is a punk-ass bitch. She can't get on a plane to fly 5 hours out to California. She's not making the flight to Tokyo. She's not going to go to Kiba. She wants to, but ain't going to happen. And that's a shame. Because places, venues, in other countries, all focused around gaming, would be amazing to go to. I would love to be at TGS right now. I'd love to have that experience. I'd love to be able to be hands-on with the Xbox Live experience. And more importantly, I'd love to go because being seen there would get a credence, as far as the industry is concerned, to ESH. I hate being on the soapbox of having to be a female, but we still don't get the respect that we should as gamers because we are female. And that's a shame. I had this conversation with a lot of gamers, both female and male, at E4All. And I find that it is a generational thing. And that the older they are, the less that it is an issue. But it just strikes me as odd. When we talk about and we look at an industry where community is a huge piece of it, okay, Xbox Live, the whole Xbox experience is all being redone and redriven because of community. And anybody that tells you otherwise is just full of shit. Same thing with PlayStation Network and Home and WiiWare and what's going on, you know, we would like to play together. It's all about community because the industry has realized that gamers are not little islands. We don't like to float out all by ourselves. We like to play against other people. We like to be involved. We like to talk. We like to chat. We like to share our passions. We like to frag and teabag. Wait, that kind of sort of came out wrong, but you know what I'm getting at. We aren't that stereotypical fat, white, middle-aged guy in his basement telling his mom to make him a meatloaf while you're sitting there with a headset on and playing games until 5 o'clock in the morning. That's just not what the gamerscape is. So yes, those guys still exist, just like the good-looking black chick who is a gamer exists, as well as emo guy who is amazing at DDR. The gamer landscape, the look of the gamer, the stereotype of the gamer has been smashed. You know, I had this great conversation one night with Triforce while I was at E for All, talking about the difference between a casual gamer and that hardcore gamer was, you know, the wrong term, and that you have cultural gamers and you have artistic gamers. And, you know, as we were having this conversation, I was listening to him bring up different points with other people. It came down to me that it was passion. Passion dictates to me whether or not you're a gamer or somebody that likes to play video games. And neither one of these is better than the other. So don't think that that's what I'm saying. Oh, Ninja Sister says that if you're not a gamer, you're just somebody that plays games. That's not bad. It's good to be somebody who just likes to pick up a game every once in a while and play. It's called entertainment for a reason. And it should be entertaining. At any point in time. Whether that entertainment is an addiction or not, well, that's up to you to figure out. For me, gaming isn't an addiction. It's a passion. It's my passion. It's the thing that gives me joy. Whether I'm good at a game or bad at a game, doesn't matter. I just like to play games. I love to see new games. I love to see what new ideas people come up with, how creative they are with lighting and with storytelling, if they tell a story at all. If they employ something new that I haven't seen before, how did they come up with that idea? I love that, packaged into the fact that it's a game. There are goals. There are things to achieve. There are points. I can be competitive. That just layers on and makes it something even more amazing and special and unique. And then when you add the community piece in so that I can share that with somebody else, well, that just becomes amazing. At least to me. And it kills me, really, that the industry doesn't see itself the way that I see it, the way that other people who have a passion for the industry see it, like the people at All Games and the people at Chatterbox and the Fantastic Form guys that I finally got to meet for the first time. You know, you see the people that have the passion at these events, and you sit down after the day is done and have these conversations, and we're still talking about the games, what we've seen, what we liked, what we didn't, what could be better, what we're looking forward to, something that, you know, is completely off topic but somehow relates and comes back and cracks us all up. To get that just because I've gone to an event and then have that fuel me going into the next day is amazing. So you're probably sitting here now after all this time going, dear God, she's gone on forever. Does this thing have an end? Yes, it does. And it ends with, please, gaming industry, don't forget who you are and what you are and where your soul is. The industry wouldn't thrive and wouldn't be growing the way it is if it wasn't building a base, a loyal base. And I don't care what camp you're in, DS, PSP, Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft, it doesn't matter. You are a gamer. PC, throw that in there too. Mac gaming, sure, why not? If you exclude the people that are passionate about your product, you won't make enough money to make the next version of your product. So stop excluding a sister and hook her up with an E3 invite. Let's start the campaign now, people. ESH at E3 09. So with that, I guess I'm going to have to wrap it up because I really don't have much else that I can say. I think I've said everything that I need to on this little rant. And I did it without cursing too awful much, so I'm really proud of myself for that one. But if you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear what you think about going to events and the trade shows and the state of the industry right now. So visit us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or use our short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, so you can check out the things that all the sisters and the fellas are writing. You can listen to other episodes of the podcast. You can also grab our feed and throw it into your favorite RSS reader, or you can use our feed to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, or even look in the podcast directory of iTunes, because we are listed there if you search for Electric Sisterhood. You can also use the Hit Us Up link to send us questions, thoughts, things that you've seen, things that you're interested in, or just send us a shout out. We love getting those things too. We might even send you candy. I'm really bad about putting candy in the mail, but I have candy to send, so you might wind up being a candy bitch just for hitting us up and using the Hit Us Up link. It's there. So are Twitterings. And don't forget that we are Pink for October this month to help support breast cancer awareness. We do have the pink links on the side nav of the site. So please take a moment, hit up some of those. If you feel like making a donation to the Susan G. Komen Fund, that would be amazing. Otherwise, knowledge is power. And the more you know, and G.I. Joe, I don't know where I'm going with that, but it has something to do with like knowing more stuff and being half the battle, I think. Yeah, that sounds about right. But please, do take some time, hit up those links. There's not a person, I think, that I know that hasn't been touched by breast cancer in some way, shape, or form. So the more that you know and the earlier things are detected, the better. And I think I'm done with my soapbox, so I guess I'm going to have to call this podcast toast. And I think I'm just going to actually put butter on the toast and eat it, because it's very early in the morning, and it's time for breakfast. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista, and I am out.